The Word of God, Isaiah chapter 2 that was read earlier in your hearing. I'm going to read verses 2 and 3, I think, again. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways. We will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Amen. I want to talk about where there is hope, there's life. Where there's hope, there's life. Advent begins with the candle of hope. We can live without water for a few days, probably. But we can't live without hope for 1 minute. When you stop hoping, it's hope. People who lose hope commit suicide. People who lose hope, they just wither and die. In this particular case, we talk about Advent, we talk about Isaiah. In order to understand what Isaiah is saying, you have to understand the time in which he ministered, in which he lived. How many of you know that you are a product of your times? You would be a different person if you lived at a different time in history. Isaiah ministered at a time that it was a bad economy, that it was a time that was Israel was under attack. The Assyrian army had already conquered North Israel. The kingdom was divided between the north and the south. Assyria had already conquered the north. And the south thought that Israel were going to conquer them. Judah thought that it was a matter of time before Assyria would conquer them. And during that time, God called a prophet by the name of Isaiah, to have a word. How many of you know it's in the difficult times that you need to hear a word from God? It's when you're really going through, when you're way down yonder by yourself, you and I need to hear a positive word from God. You need to hear something to say, somebody to say, you can make it with God on your side. Israel was divided, and Judah thought that they needed to make a covenant with Egypt. They on the horizon, it looked like that Assyria would conquer them, so they thought they needed to make an agreement with Egypt to prevent Assyria from conquering them. How many of you know it can you do remember that Israel were slaves in Egypt? You do know that things can get so bad in the present that you go back, your past looks good. Here it was that Israel had left Egypt, and now because of Assyria, they decide that they needed to make a contract with Egypt to prevent Assyria from conquering them. It was then that Isaiah stood up. And he said, you don't need to make a contract with Egypt. You need to trust in God. God will build a temple. God will build his house on the mountain. And you go and worship
God, you turn from your wicked ways. You turn from the things that you are doing and give your heart and give your mind to the God of our salvation, the God who brought us out of Egypt, the God who brought us across the Red Sea, the God who brought us through the wilderness. Trust in Him. Look at somebody and say, I don't care how bad it is. Don't give up on God. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care who walked out on who. I don't care, you know, whether you lost your job. I don't care whether unemployment ran out. I don't care whether you have health insurance or not. I don't care if you've been diagnosed with some life-threatening disease. Don't you give up on God. Because I'm a living witness. He can turn your midnights into day. Do I have a witness? He can bring you out. He can pick you up. He can turn you around. He will make a way. I've been here for 27 years, and I have seen people who had life-threatening illnesses that, I'll be honest with you, I thought that they would not make it. And then I've seen other people who look like the picture of health. And the one who looked like the picture of health is dead and gone. And the one who looked like that they were on their way out, They're sitting here right now, some of them praising God. Don't tell me what God can't do. Don't tell me just because it looks bad that God can't turn a situation around. Do I have one witness in here that God can turn a situation around? And once He turns it around, you and I ought to praise Him. I can't tell you. That I praise Him the way I ought to praise Him every day. But when I think about it, that I had prostate cancer and I could have been dead. When I think about some of the stuff that I've done in my life and the Lord kept me. When I think about His grace. So Israel is in a bad situation. They are under the threat of being conquered by Assyria, and things are not going well for the Israelites. And Isaiah steps forward and he preaches a gospel. He preaches that God is going to build a sanctuary on the mountain. And then he says, and then people will come from everywhere and they will learn of His precepts. They will learn of God's ways. I don't know about you, but you know, I'm glad that I don't have to live according to my own precepts. Because I'll be honest with you, the hell that I've caught in my life, it was because of my precepts. It was because I decided I was going to do it my way. Do I have a witness in here? Anybody else? But when I yielded to God's way and when I followed His precepts and when I followed His principles, how many of you know His way is the more excellent way? That's what the Word says. And when we get into His Word and we try to live by His Word, then we'll be able to live a faithful life. Some of our problems today is we come to church, but we live the way we want to live. We come to learn His way. We come to learn. And in order to, it's one thing to learn His way. It's another thing to do His way. A lot of us, we come to Sunday school. We've been, many of us, all of us, been in church all our lives. Our mama brought us to church. Our grandmama brought us to church. Our dad brought us to church. You know, and we went to Sunday school. We went to Bible class, you know, and we got some word in us somewhere. We just decided, I ain't going to do it. We know it, but we just refuse to do it. But Isaiah said, we live by hope, and Isaiah gave a word of hope. Things were bad at that time, but Isaiah preached a word of hope that there's going to come a time where we're going to beat our weapons in the plowshares and our weapons are not going to be used to kill anymore. They're going to be used to plant. We're going to plow up grass. We're going to make this into a peaceful existence. How many of you know the church ought to be talking about peace? You don't talk about today that we're in war on two fronts, but it ought to be our prayer that we bring our soldiers home. And then South Korea is beginning and North Korea is beginning to act crazy. Looks like they're going to go to war in South Korea. We need to be lifting up the word of peace. We're going to bring our troops home. I don't care who is the president of the United States, Barack Obama. I want the troops home. I don't care who's in charge of the Congress. I want the troops home. Church ought to be a place lifting up peace. Everybody else talking about war, the church ought to be lifting up peace. That we're going to beat our swords in the plowshares. All that money we spending on weapons and airplanes, give it out in food stamps. That's what the scripture said. Give it out in health care. All of you who complaining about Obamacare, obviously you got insurance. The church has got to be a place of hope. You come into these doors, all of you look like you don't have a care in the world. But somebody out there is going through. Somebody out there has lost hope. Somebody's out there have got a condition that they've had for I don't know how long, and they don't see any way through. Somebody is in a marriage situation. Somebody is in a relationship. Somebody has got they've been unemployed so long. Somebody has lost their car. Somebody don't have any money to pay their bills, and they have lost hope, and they need to be here in this church. The doors need to be open, and when they come into those doors, they need to be able to hear somebody say, there's a bright side somewhere. They need to hear somebody say, the Lord will make a way somehow. They need to say, you just hang on in there. The Lord will bring you out and turn you around. They need to hear somebody say that God is a healer. The last thing we come to church for is to have a pity party. Just because you got a little turbulence in your life, there's no reason for you to commit suicide. Everybody has turbulence. And some of you are like me, when I'm on an airplane, I want the turbulence to be over instantly. Last thing I need is on an airplane is for the flight attendant to get nervous. We are in turbulence in the flight. When I see the flight attendant go back and fasten her seatbelt, I know we're in for trouble. Because they're usually up, it's bumping and they're still serving and they're still, how are you, Mr. Jackson? They're still smiling. But when they go sit down, my prayer life goes up. The last thing people in the church want is to come to church and hear a negative sermon about how bad things are. My God, they know how bad things are. They need to hear an Isaiah talking about the house of the Lord, that there's hope in the house of the Lord, that there's deliverance in the house of the Lord, that there's healing in the house of the Lord. I don't know how long you're going to be in the darkness, but there's a light in the house of the Lord that will light up your situation and change your situation. I don't care what you're going through. Sing a song down south. I've been in the storm too long. Many of us have been in the storm too long. But Advent is about the Messiah coming. And when Christ gets here, it always makes a difference. I can remember as a boy in South Carolina, waiting on my grandfather to get home, especially if he had promised me that we were going to do something that I wanted to do. It felt like what? He would never get there. the worst things as a parent you can do is to promise your kid something and never deliver. It's better if you can't do it, you know. And, you know, sometimes absent fathers, you know, sometimes absent fathers, I'm not picking on anybody, I'm just talking about what happens. Sometimes absent fathers, you know, they feel guilty because they're not there with the kids, and they'll promise the kids the moon. I'm coming to see you, baby. And then what? They don't come. Then they don't come this time. Then they don't come that time. Then they don't come the next time. And what happens? The child gives up hope. Well, I want to tell you about your Heavenly Father, who is named Jesus. Down here, some of us fathers don't do what we say. But our Heavenly Father is faithful to His Word. Now, He may not come when you and I want Him to come, but He does show up, and He is on time, and He is faithful to His Word. And He is, that's why they call Him what? The hope of glory. Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. The church, our deacon's ministry, sometimes it's hard to help people. Thanksgiving, just recently at the church, taught us that. We've given out these Thanksgiving baskets. This woman came in down at our food pantry, and she wasn't getting what she thought she should get. It wasn't enough for her, and it wasn't what she wanted. She started to perform, cursing. Hard sometimes to help people because you know that song they say, I'm only human? I really wanted to go off. I wanted to show you not to. I know a few words. But I decided to delegate it. So I sent Deacon Robinson. I don't know what he said. I didn't stay around here. All I know, nobody came back to report that he acted unchristian. But in my heart of hearts, I don't think she deserved anything. I understand you can be in a difficult spot, but if somebody is helping you, that they don't have to, you ought to at least say thank you. Now, I don't know if the person is sitting here. If you are, I hope you hear me. Because I really wanted to cuss you out. I'm just telling you, I really, what a wonderful change has been wrought in my life since Jesus has come into my life, because there was a time I'd have cussed you out in a heartbeat in the name of somebody. There comes a time when people come to the deacons and we've given out all of our money and we just don't have any money, you know, and people come with legitimate needs and they come and they want something and they got kids and they got rent to be paid and they need some food and they need all kinds of things. And today, $25 don't do too much, you know, so, you know, we just have no money. But we don't have any money, but one thing we do have is hope. God help us if we think that all that we are in is in the money business. This is not social services. This is God's house. When we don't have a dime, we have faith. When we don't have a dime, we have trust. When we don't have a dime, we have hope in Jesus Christ. Let us pray together, sister. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how God's going to come through, but I'm a living witness. God will come through. You just keep the faith. You just hold on. You just trust God. God will show up. And when God shows up, God will show out. We are deacons, not social workers. It's one of them. I'm not putting down any social worker. But what I'm saying is, when the resources run out, God, that's God's opportunity to show up and to show out. I don't know how He's going to work it out, but He'll work it out. somebody walked out on you, you still don't have to sell your body. There's a whole lot of people in here who had made it hard on hard times, but they still tried to live a faithful life. They still trusted God. That's the word. That's what Advent is about. It's about hope in a hopeless situation when it looks hopeless. That Jesus is the light of the world. He is the hope of glory. And without him, there is no hope. Don't you get to the point where you are in such a bad situation that you have no hope. Making your way out, you don't feel like it. You don't have no food to eat. You don't have no heat. Make your way to church anyhow. Been to the deacon board and they say, sorry, go in here. And then if they say they're sorry and they don't have nothing, don't go around and scandalize the church. That old Mount Olive went up there and they did a could not help Baptist church. Listen, if we're broke, we're broke. I remember when I came here 27 years ago, they had at that time, they had a bunch of money in the benevolence ministry. Bunch of money. I don't know how many thousands. They had thousands of dollars in the benevolence ministry. Let's just say they had 50,000. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. They had a bunch of money. And people around here hungry and unemployed, I said, benevolence is not a savings account. It's for you to give out. So you ought to scandalize the church. If you come here and find we got $100,000 in the benevolence fund, then you ought to talk about us. But if we come in here and we are broke, you ought to say, praise the Lord. Because they've given out every dime that they had. It's not a savings account. They help to the, what they could help. They don't have nothing else. They have to wait till they get something else. But one thing they do have, they can pray for you. They can encourage you. They can affirm you. They can tell you. They can offer you hope. They can offer you peace. They can offer you counseling. What they do have, such as I have, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I freely give to you. I think that real Christians will understand that and respect that. And if they don't, that just means they're not mature in the faith yet. You know what I found out? Those people that we can't help, they still make it. Somehow, they still make it. They might borrow it from Uncle John, Uncle Bubba, Aunt Mamie, but they still make it. Where there's hope, there's life. Don't let anybody rob you of hope. Jesse Jackson says, keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. I say, hope keeps you alive. Lose your hope. You're gone. You're through. You're finished. That's one of us every now and then we get a little weak in our hope. Sometimes we're not quite as optimistic. That's when you need a prayer partner. How many of you know you need a prayer partner? You know, you need somebody to encourage you. You need, I don't feel like going down that old church. You need somebody to say, get up, girl. Get up, boy. Come on, we're going to church. We're going to prayer meeting. We're going. You know, because if you got a real friend will talk to you and say stuff to you that you don't want to hear. You know, they might even cuss you out, but you say, come on, you can cuss me out if you want to. We gone. Come on. Come on. Get up. I'm tired of this pity party. I'm tired of this negative. Get yourself. Put your clothes on. Throw some makeup on. Get up. We going somewhere. And after they go somewhere, just might be on that particular Sunday, the young adults up there talking about, I'm grateful, 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 gratefulness. Grateful, grateful, gratefulness. Ah! You come in with a smile on your face, the next thing you know, you're kind of...
you're feeling a little better, and you're getting your joy back, and you begin to feel like, I think I can make it a little while. I came in, I didn't feel too good, but I believe I can make it now. I feel like, I know that I'm not in it by myself. I know that the Lord's got my back. I know that somebody's been through what I'm going through, and look at her. If she can make it, if he can make it, I know I can make it. I believe I can make it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can make it. And I'm grateful.
Where there's hope,